This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. So today we're talking with SC Moadi, the author of Mobilize, a fantastic new book on mobile and what companies can do to do mobile right. And so we're going to talk about mobile, we're going to talk about data, and we're going to talk about Facebook, because she was at Facebook when Facebook was figuring out mobile for the first time. And we're going to hear how Facebook almost didn't make it. People were worried that they might not figure out mobile in time, and they were in danger of going under. So this is a story I had never heard. It's fascinating to hear it from her. So stick around. We're going to get right into it. Welcome to Rocketship.fm, where we explore startups from funding to growth, from culture to sales, and everything in between. I'm Michael Saka.
And I'm Joelle Goldman. Yeah.
All right, on to our interview with SC Moadi, author of Mobilized. So welcome. Really excited to have you on today. Talk about some data, talk about mobile. Why don't you kind of give us the background on your history? I mean, you have a long history with technology. Give us the background on some of your experiences leading up to writing this book.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me, Michael. It's great to be here. So I've always been passionate about technology. I started with my master's in electrical engineering. And then for most of my career, I've been the past 10, 12 years building mobile services that today are used by billions of people at companies like Facebook and Nokia and Trulia. I've also had my own company which I sold as a talent acquisition to Facebook. And about a year ago, a publisher reached out to me and said, hey, you know, would you be interested to write a book on mobile? And it had always been on my bucket list to write a book. So I jumped on the occasion, and it's been a really great experience. The book just went out, and it's on a bunch of bestseller lists right now. And I'm very excited to share it with the world.
And so from reading the book, what are we to learn? What are we going to take away when we read this book?
Right. So the book itself is called Mobilized, An Insider's Guide to the Business and Future of Connected Technology. And what I discuss there are a few things. Firstly, I talk about what this mobile revolution is all about, and how, you know, every company that I talk to today wants to become mobile first. And that's a bit of the, you know, $1 million question, like, what do I need to do to become mobile first?
Right.
So I talk about, you know, what it takes to become mobile first. And then I talk about the rules behind all successful mobile products. And I base that on not just my 12 years of experience in Silicon Valley building mobile products, but also on dozens of interviews with founders and execs at Airbnb and Uber and Lyft and Pandora and many other companies. A lot of what I learned through that is that mobile products are extensions of ourselves. And I'm just talking about smartphones. I'm talking about all devices, right? So include Internet of Things, connected car, everything that basically works in context. So mobile products are extensions of ourselves. So when we think of the best mobile products, we want to think of our best selves. So I use the mind, body, spirit to describe that. So we all want to, you know, body, we all want to look good. Spirit, we all want to have meaningful lives. And then mind, we all want to keep learning and growing. Well, exactly the same applies to our mobile products. We want them to look beautiful. We want them to give us meaning, which they do through a lot of data. And then we want them to keep learning and growing with us.
So how are some of those CEOs, how are they approaching, the next generation of mobile applications?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, if you think about services and what's going to work, you think of who's going to use them and who's going to build them. And so I think the best description I read on the millennial generation is digital native, of course, so a lot of comfort with technology, expect technology to be there everywhere, but really three things: confident, connected, and open to change. And it sort of circles back to, you know, your theme on data, where confidence, you expect things to just work, right? Mm-hmm. There is no patience for, you know, getting into the weeds, looking under the hood. Connected, it's all about personalization. And I think that right now we're really just scratching the surface. You know, we're grabbing your location, we're grabbing your identity, but we don't do too much with it. We don't do too much with all that information, all that data. And then open to change, it goes back to that theme of, you know, constantly learning, constantly growing.
And so how do you see, how have you seen the industry grow and evolve, and where do you see some of the trends going as we can integrate more and more data and learnings into MOA? The mobile industry is only a decade or so old, if that.
Yes. Well, you know, where I see it going, I think there are huge opportunities around virtual reality, especially when I look at what Facebook is doing with Oculus. I had a chance to use their headsets, and I got transported into a Syrian refugee camp, right?
Wow.
So I followed a little girl for a full day, you know, from her home to the computer lab and all that. And it completely changed my perspective, right? So I think that this is a huge tool to make us more empathetic, open us up to others, just by giving us that complete immersion into new experiences. And then in healthcare, I mean, the field of healthcare is so broken right now. If you look at the cost of healthcare, 75% is spent on managing chronic diseases like obesity, diabetes, and all of that. And the way that we treat that is mostly reactive. So, okay, problem, solution, right? Problem, we're going to fix it, right? As opposed to proactive, where we monitor using data, using mobile devices to make sure that people, you know, are able to live with their chronic diseases and live better. And then another area where I see a lot of opportunities is connected cities. So here I look at the city of Montreal, and they conducted this amazing experience where they linked local merchants with public transportation and then with community action. They said, well, if you take public transportation instead of taking your car, first of all, you save a tree, right? So because you save energy by not taking your car. So we'll gamify that experience a little bit and you're going to be saving a tree. And then second, when you come out of the, you know, public transportation, the subway, we'll throw local offers to you. And the results were amazing. First of all, it created whole communities around the environment. And second, these merchants saw their offer convert 5 to 10 times more than just the regular other offers. So I think there are just so many different ways that we can use, you know, data, mobile devices to make our lives better. It's very exciting.
Is there any downside to this, you know, with more and more people on their phone, more invasive forms of like advertising? Is there a downside? Are we going to get a backlash?
So I don't think we're going to get a backlash, but definitely there are downsides. You mentioned some of them, like people, you know, sort of disconnecting from groups and communities. I think, you know, very much it's a situation where the jury is still out. So you see a lot of, you know, it's almost like a cliche to hear people complain about, you know, a rude person on the bus or a friend who like check out, you know, during dinner or things like that. If you look at research, like the University of Florida did a study that shows how mobile people who use their mobile product intensely are actually more connected. They have access to more people, access to more resources. So, you know, the jury is still out on that, you know, sort of connection, primarily because we have not established social norms and rules for how we interact in the world with our mobile products.
Yeah.
Where I think there's a bigger backlash is everything that has to do with privacy and, you know, all the movements that are going on in Europe right now and around the world around ad blocking, and privacy control and data control and right to be forgiven.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big conversation to be had, and it's an important one because we need to get some of this. You know, we need to know the rules, the playing field, because it's also new. But what are, you know, when we're talking about smaller companies, what are some of the things that they're missing when they're going mobile that maybe they should be paying a little bit more attention to?
Yes, that's a great question. A lot of times, you know, I see companies have very, very basic questions. You know, should I build an app versus have a website versus go on tablets and so on? So it's sort of a technical choice of platform. And these choices, to be honest, they're fairly simple depending on your business. Most of the time, you know, people will start with mobile website, learn, optimize, and then they will convert to, you know, other platforms. What I don't see them do is two things. One, I don't think they use enough data. So for example, they will go live and launch before testing and iterating. Or they will not personalize the experience enough, and the bar is very high on mobile, so not using enough data. And then another mistake that I see them do is when they start using data, then they get caught into the data, and they don't look at, you know, what really is the essence of mobile, which is it makes us more or better humans, yeah. right? Mobile products being extensions of ourselves. So I'll give you an example. A lot of people today are talking about growth hacking. And while I think that's very valuable and it really gets results and drive metrics, often you sort of lose the forest from the tree, you reach incremental returns, and you have to think a bit more creatively about what people want, what's going to take your service to the next level. And I don't see a lot of companies necessarily do that. I see them sort of race for the app store or race for the bots, as opposed to think a bit more creatively.
Yeah. What do you think of the new bot explosion, or at least the focus on it? Is it the next frontier?
I don't think so. I think people are, looking for a way to get attention outside of the app store. It's virtually become impossible unless you're a major brand and you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars weekly or monthly raising your brand to get attention in the app stores. Mm. So think about, your smartphone, you have one icon where you get attention, which is the app store. Where else, like what other icon could you get attention from? And that's why, all these messaging platforms are sort of emerging as basically another form of app store. I think this is, going to work for a few companies, because if you think back at the rise of the app store, companies like Pandora, Instagram, MyFitnessPal emerged from being early members of the app store. So on messaging, the same thing will happen. But that's not the real solution. It's sort of a linear solution, like same problem, just different icon. What I think is a better solution is to have brands work together to cross promote. So instead of a sort of a linear, like, let me get attention through, an app store or messaging, it's more of an end-to-end, like, let me cross promote you when it makes sense approach that I think is going to be more disruptive.
Okay. Interesting. And then the other thing we have to talk about with mobile is millennials. What have you learned about, kind of the next generation of mobile users and how they're interacting with technology?
Yeah. So, as I was mentioning earlier, I think, the description that I use, confident, connected, open to change. So they will demand, and they already demand, products that are, beautiful, like they just work. That's the confident part. Product that are always personalized and always, feel that they are meaningful. That's the connected part. And then products that keep evolving with them. And that's the open to change. So, we're going full circle and back to that mobile formula of mobile products have to be beautiful, give us meaning, and help us learn.
Very cool. Yeah. And how can, what kind of data are you using when designing in order to make sure that you're hitting the right points, that you are adapting properly? Are there ever any false positives or gotchas that you've seen over the years that smaller companies can learn from?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so the one of the most useful way to learn from a kind of a systematic perspective is instrumentation. And when I look at the landscape out there, there's like 350 mobile analytics tools. I think really you need two. One is you need an attribution tool to track everything that happens outside of your product. And two is you need an analytics tool to track everything that happens inside your product. And if you want some specific names or recommendation, feel free to shoot me a note on my website. It's scmoati.com.
Cool.
Now
yeah.
that's on the sort of analytical data driven part. Back to my earlier point about the fact that we need to also take a step back and understand human behaviors and how that affects mobile. What I've seen work very, very effectively is doing so-called ethnographic studies, which is basically following a customer through, the journey of how they use your product or would use your product if you're a very young company. And why I think that's important is because, unlike any other technology before, mobile uses your context and your real identity. And so that's why following somebody, you know, across like different places that they're going and different things that they do during their day, is so important.
Yeah. So, and how do you do that? I mean, I've never actually done that kind of study on an app. What does it look like?
Yeah. That's, you know, there is no tool today that will, you know, deliver you an ethnographic report on your users. So it's a sort of a long form of usability study where you pick, you know, 12 to 15 users or potential users, and you, you know, sort of follow them, derive a number of segments and a number of behaviors. And again, like, happy to discuss that in more details or with a specific context. You can grab me on my website.
Cool. And is this something that is achievable for, you know, companies that are at an earlier stage?
I think not only is it achievable, it's really a must have.
Okay.
If you think of, mobile companies that are young and trying to really solve the problem, you want to make sure that they are basing their work on like real people, real life, real context, as opposed to, you know, like a desire to abstractly change the world or something like that.
Very cool. Yeah. So what's, I guess, is there any other advice that you would want to give to a someone who's approaching mobile now with their business for the first time?
Well, the big thing I would say is if you're starting your mobile strategy now, you're very late in the game. And so you want to hurry. And that would be like my most valuable piece of advice for companies just starting with mobile. If you're a new company and you are just starting in your business, then you want to think of your mobile, of your business as, you know, what is called mobile first. So, a mobile interface with everything else behind it, like a huge back office that does everything else that, you know, a regular business does. Because if you think about it, right, companies that were massive companies 2 to 3 years ago no longer exist today because they've been taken over by the mobile revolution. Companies almost died because they almost missed the mobile revolution, Facebook being one of them. So you want to make sure that you don't miss that boat, because it's a boat that's really going to that replaces and recycles entire industries within a couple of years.
Was there really a time when Facebook was worried about mobile, like they had fallen behind?
Oh yeah, and I'm sure you'll remember reading some articles saying, you know, Facebook is going to die because it doesn't get mobile. Facebook has tons of users on mobile, but zero revenue, and so on and so forth. So there was really a huge transition on the part of the company.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Where do we get the book? Where do we keep up with you and the future things that you get into?
Thank you. So my website, scmoatti.com, scmoatti.com, which is where you can follow me, get my newsletter, and a bunch of other resources. And then my book is also on my website and on Amazon and all the major retailers, and it's called Mobilized.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes and on the site as well, so you can go there to find it. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time here.
Hey, thank you, Michael. Great talking with you.
Whew, wasn't that a good one? So if you want to read Mobilized, you can find it on Amazon. Just search Mobilized, or you can find the link on our site, rocketship.fm, under the interviews section. Big thanks to our sponsors for today's episode, Design Crowd. Go to designcrowd.com/rocketship and get $100 off your next design project. And of course, segment.com. Go to segment.com/rocketship and get $300 off their team plan. You need Segment, so just go there, sign up, support Rocketship. On Wednesday, we have an amazing show coming up. We are going to be looking at the strange ways that companies use data and the amazing things that they can do with it. Things that we had never thought about, you probably haven't thought about, and so you're going to want to tune in. So if you haven't yet, hit subscribe, leave us a review. If you've listened this long, just leave a review. You owe it to us at this point, right? You're like the guy or girl at the party just hanging out way too late and the hosts just want to go to bed, but you know, you're still here, still wanting more. So in iTunes, in Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, just leave us 5 stars and then we'll call it even. You can follow us on Twitter, RocketShipFM, or follow me at Michael Sacca or Joelle at Joelle Goldman. All right, we'll see you back here in just a couple days.